This week, I spill the tea on some of the more awkward details of my teenage years, not because I particularly want to, but because you keep asking for my testimony, which until I do it in its fullness, I thought I might just disguise certain details of it in the occasional homily. But in this case, I promise it's not just to satisfy your curiosity, it actually relates directly to the reading. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's homily podcast. Welcome to The Average Shepherd. My name is Father Sam French, and today is Sunday in the 32nd week of Ordinary Time, and the homily today is called Wisdom and Teenage Romance. For context, I'm drawing this homily from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, and I recommend you go and read those if you want to understand what I'm talking about. So let's begin. Love and even romance are the words that spring to mind from this Sunday's readings. See, for most of my life, I have prided myself on being a particularly low-key kind of personality, mostly rational and not easily prone to impulsive outbursts, either in word or behavior. But like every human being, there have been some exceptions to this. And this week's readings took me down a little trip down memory lane, to one such example in my life. So just out of high school and in the years, of course, before seminary, I, like so many of us at that age, was struck by Cupid's arrow one summer, and I found myself in the romantic pursuit of a lovely young lady. Now, I'm not going to sit here and, as I said, satisfy your curiosity by dwelling on the awkward details of my teenage years, because that is not the point of a homily. But the point I wish to make is a very innocent one, and that's this. A person's usual behavior can be altered significantly when romance is involved. I think we all know this. In my case, the usually calm, collected, rational teenage Sam found himself writing mountains of love letters instead of studying, jumping from an aeroplane and parachuting onto a beach, spending every dollar in his bank account, and diving into freezing oceans in winter at midnight, all to impress the girl that I was dating at the time. Now, the kind of behavior seems crazy to me in hindsight, but we all know that romance has the beautiful power to direct human behavior, to influence our attitude, and to ultimately change the direction of our life. Now, in my case, a little bit later on, it was ultimately the bride of Christ, the church, that won my heart. But those exciting details are for another homily. Now, what on earth does my little story have to do with the scriptures? Well, in today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom, it is written by a poet for kings and rulers of the time who already have or will someday take on large leadership roles in society. So for the sake of all the people in the kingdom, this poet has taken it upon himself to encourage his royal readers to use their romantic energy in the pursuit of the virtue of wisdom rather than on other more frivolous pursuits. So he describes wisdom to these kings in the most attractive terms possible, as a beautiful young woman, so that kings, by their romantic desire for her, might be influenced to rule and to act with justice, integrity, and righteousness. It's pretty genius if you think about it. We only have to listen to the language of this book to know what I'm talking about. I quote, "Wisdom is bright, and she never grows dim. By those who love her, she is readily seen and found by those who seek her out. She is quick to anticipate those who desire her and makes herself known to them." You just hear this and you can easily tell that it is clearly passionate and romantic kind of language. And it might seem to us a little bit over the top. Why is Lady Wisdom so important? Why does she need to be so passionately sought after by kings? Well, we hear in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." In other words, those who seek after the spiritual gift of wisdom will inevitably discover the mind of God. So those who are truly wise will therefore do the will of God. So if we seek after and fall in love with true wisdom, we will fall in love with the will of God for our life. Then, like me as an awkward teenager, we will be driven to serve that love in ways that we could have never before imagined. In a nutshell, true wisdom is not business acumen. True wisdom is not intellectual prowess. It is not debating skills. True wisdom is the love of God in action. Wisdom is the love of God in action. So if wisdom is the love of God in action, it is not something that we can easily fake. True wisdom will inevitably shine through us into the world through our words and behavior. It cannot be counterfeited, and it's not something that can be hidden. Now, we hear about this kind of wisdom again in today's parable about the wise and the foolish maidens. Now, I really do believe it's easy to get lost in the weeds of this parable because there's so many strange things going on. For example, the bridegroom keeps the maidens waiting until midnight, which is extremely poor form. Then the wise maidens refuse to share their oil, obviously selfish brats. The foolish maidens then go looking for oil shops at midnight, dumb. And then to top it off, the bridegroom bars them entry to the wedding and says, "I do not know you," which sounds extremely savage. So in order to understand this seemingly crazy parable properly, I think we have to zoom in and concentrate on the oil in the maidens' lamps, because I think the oil is what holds the key to understanding. See, the oil in the lamps symbolizes wisdom, the love of God in action, practical charity, if you will. And true wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is something that is asked for and given on an individual level. It's not some commodity that can be dished out or given away from one person to another. I can't give my wisdom to you. You can't give your wisdom to me in a single act. For example, even as their son, I can't get to heaven on the basis of my parents' or my grandparents' wisdom and holiness, because that's not how those things work. And I think this is the point that Jesus is making. The wisdom to love God has to be cultivated by us on a personal level. We have to personally ask for that gift. We have to open ourselves to that gift. We have to foster wisdom, care for it constantly, so that we are personally prepared to receive Jesus, the bridegroom, when he eventually comes. Now, if we go back to the gospel or this parable with that in mind, you'll see a difference. The wise maidens, they don't refuse to share their oil because they're stingy, but rather because they can't. Wisdom cannot be divided and shared around. So the foolish maidens have to go out into the night looking for it. But wisdom, as we know, is not something that can just be found on any old street corner. It takes time, preparation, cultivation. And this is why our Lord is asking us to stay awake and be vigilant in our spiritual lives, constantly opening ourselves to the gift of wisdom and the love of God. I think the point of today's parable is that we cannot let our lamps burn out. We can't allow ourselves to become bored by prayer or give up on the moral demands of our faith. As the Lord says, we must always be prepared to trim our wicks and meet the bridegroom. Practically speaking, I think that means doing the little things daily, encountering Jesus in the scriptures every day, whether it's at Mass or at home, receiving him in the sacraments often, especially in the Eucharist and the sacrament of confession, speaking to the Lord every day in prayer, taking time for meditation, and offering our will to Jesus through fasting and serving him generously and practically with our time and our money. See, the convenient thing, I think, from this gospel is we don't have to wait to put this into practice. The bridegroom is on his way to the wedding feast right now, especially for those of us who are preparing to go into Mass this Sunday. He is about to become present to us, and he always becomes present to us on the altar in the Eucharist. So this Sunday, let us prepare ourselves for his arrival today by asking the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom to recognize and love Jesus in the sacrament. As you approach the sanctuary today, physically or in spirit, imagine yourself meeting Jesus in the banquet hall of heaven. Embrace him in your heart and ask him to fill you with the oil of wisdom so that you are always prepared to enter into the Lord's presence. So let's not let our love of God become stale or burn out. Let us pray for the gift of holiness so that, like me, in a teenage romance, that love that we have for God becomes obvious to everybody through our words and our actions. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.